Presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
He said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
A very good Friday to you and yours. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Glad to be with you on this day before the three-day weekend. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to a three-day weekend, and I think most people are out there as well. Just, of course, a programming note, no Sports Hub on Monday of next week because of the Memorial Day holiday. Also of note, races have been canceled for tonight out at Brown County Speedway. That was canceled, I believe, either late Wednesday or early Thursday. But nevertheless, those races, of course, for tonight have been nixed. All right, we got ourselves a loaded show for here today. Spencer Christensen, he'll be joining us live in studio coming up a quarter past the hour. We're talking all things hoops with Spencer Christensen. He joined you and Ryan Martin earlier on, I think it was last month, if memory serves correctly, and maybe a month and a half ago, whatever it was, and really fun discussion listening with you guys. And I'm looking forward to being part of the conversation here today. He's Matt McClure. How are you, sir?
Doing good, man. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to a little relaxing, looking forward to a conversation here with Mr. Christensen. And, you know, I know Spencer from back in the day. He used to be an assistant coach of the Presentation College men's basketball, or girls' basketball, or women's basketball team, I guess. Mm-hmm. Girls, women, you know, women's basketball squad there. And so we go back a ways for sure. And I'm walking down the hallway to get into the Fox Sports Aberdeen studio. He's out there waiting for us. So he is prepared. He is ready to go. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, ready to roll. We had him right before they started the summer kind of season, the travel ball, and what he was looking for now that they've had a couple of those events over the summer, talking to him and what he's seen, if we will, or if you will, over the last couple weeks there at those summer tournaments, whether it's in Minnesota or wherever it may be. He's been out and about yet here this summer, and probably even more so as the weeks go by, for sure.
I'll be very, very curious to find out how coaching recruiting has changed from that coach's perspective, because I feel like not even that long ago, if you didn't go to a high school game on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night or Friday, you just didn't see these student athletes. And nowadays, of course, with Huddle and all of the things on the internet, you can watch the streams of the games, or you just go to an AAU tournament or something like that. I don't want to say going to the games is not important. That's not what I'm trying to say. But if you didn't do that 25, 30 years ago, you didn't get a chance to see these student athletes. Now you got opportunities abound. So the game has I hate to bring out that cliche, but it's a total game changer.
Well, and Spencer's kind of the eyes and ears for some of these coaches that can't get to some of these high school events. I mean, people and coaches are asking him what he's seeing. I mean, when you can't get there for whatever reason, a guy like Spencer can help you out with that for sure. And we talked about that last time he was on.
Looking forward to that discussion here in the next 15 minutes. Of course, Spencer Christensen with Preps Hoop Dakota. You can follow him on the X at Spencer_C3Scout. That's Spencer_C3Scout. He'll be joining us here in just a few short moments. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. And let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump here today. And it's basically all of the local stuff from yesterday. Man alive, did we have ourselves a very, very busy Thursday with high school tennis action yesterday, high school track and field, high school golf, some high school softball. State tournaments are officially set as well. So we're not going to get a chance to get to all of these things, but I would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for the full rundown. Of course, on the pro side of things, you had the Twins with an off day yesterday, and the Minnesota Timberwolves felt like they kind of had an off day there last night as well. They're down 2-0 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you know, we had Parker Fox on the program yesterday, and he said, here's the roadmap of what they need to do to win the game. And it just didn't feel like that map was very followed very well there yesterday.
Yeah, I'm flat out disgusted from what I saw there yesterday. Third quarter's been a big problem for them. 35-21 in the third quarter. They can't really get anything accomplished offensively. I think it's a credit to what the Thunder are doing, but it's just bad offense as well. You can't have your best player have the ball at the top of the key and try to make him create when you have this piranha-like defense that the Thunder have, and it hasn't worked at all. Julius Randle got benched in the fourth quarter. I mean, Julius Randle, 6 points last night. That's your second best player. 6 points, 5 rebounds. That's not going to cut it. Edwards did his thing, but you got to get a little bit more from your whole team. Game one, it was the bench. They were 7-36. The bench was a little bit better. But when your second player isn't scoring, and you look at what the Thunder did, you know, you got Gilgeous Alexander, 38 points to lead the way. Jalen Williams and Chet Holdman, their second and third best players, 26-10 and 22-4. I mean, that's the recipe for success for them. The Wolves right now are on sweep watch. I haven't liked one thing they've done in these two games. Outside of the first half in game one, they've gotten completely outplayed the last six quarters, and I'm worried that they're going to get swept now.
I think most Timberwolves fans are a bit worried, and you should be. And you say it's a must-win game. Well, there's no such thing as a must-win game three, but this is as close to a must-win game three as you can have, because in NBA history, doesn't happen when teams come back from 3-0. It's very, very seldom it happens in other sports, but in the NBA, 3-0 is a death sentence. So yep, this is as doggone close as you can get to a must-win on Saturday.
Yeah, they're playing very similar how they played in the West Final last year. You think, hey,
listless,
let's learn a little bit from what we did against Dallas in the West Final last year. They lost that series in 5, and it just hasn't really carried over. I know the Thunder are really good. I mean, the Thunder are really a solid team. They've won 78 games this year when you combine the regular season and the playoffs. I get it. I just thought coming into this series, you got 8 days off since you last played. You're well rested. I was thinking, hey, we could maybe go 6 or 7, and instead we could be going get the brooms out, because you could be getting swept. They need to show some guts these next two games.
We'll have to wait and see. That's tomorrow there in the Twin Cities. Well, typically good things happen, and I texted him as much. When you come on the Sports Hub, I think we're back on the uphill slide. After we had Coach Cheehawk on, he said, boy, you know, yeah, you're on little on the program there a little bit. We had a 3-game losing streak. Well, I think we're back in style here, as the Aberdeen Central Girls Golf Squad, they take care of business yesterday at the Bill Shulton Invitational there in Brookings. They finished 9 strokes ahead of the rest of the field. Olivia Braun came out smoking. I mean, she started on hole 15, and she birdied 5 of the first 6 holes, 15, 16, 18, 1, and 2. She eventually finished with a tally of 71 for the total, 1 under par, and she finished 6 strokes ahead of the rest of the competition there. Anna Ellison there from Mitchell, a 5 over 77. Emma Dorr of Aberdeen Central in third place there as well, a 6 over par. Kylie Weyerbaugh finished in 5th place. So 3 of the top 5 again are Golden Eagles, and the Golden Eagles indeed taking care of business there yesterday. They're back in action today down south in Brandon Valley's place.
And you sent me a screenshot of this early yesterday, and you're like, hey, how about this start? Braun was already 4 under par. And when you can get those birdies early in the round, you don't have to play perfect the rest of the way. You just got to be focused and locked in, finished 1 under. That's exactly what you did. When you have that big lead, you can kind of, you know, you don't need to be as aggressive, I feel like, on the golf course. And we saw that from Braun yesterday with the 1 under 71. But they had some time off, and they came out firing. That's some good news there. I know they were itching at the bit to get back on the playing course, and nice outing as a whole from Aberdeen Central.
Same can be said for Aberdeen Roncalli at the Region 1A meet that was hosted by Sisseton. They finished in first place, 4 strokes ahead of second place Madison. Sioux Valley, Groton, and Milbank running out the top five there. Claire Crawford of Aberdeen Roncalli, your medalist, a 9-over 81 for her. Mackenzie Wegehop, also with a 10-over 82, good for third place, as two of the three top place finishers there are Aberdeen Roncalli Cavaliers. So, you know, we talk about Olivia Braun and Emma Dorr and Kylie Wirebaugh and how good this Aberdeen Central golf team is, and they are. They're very, very good. But on the A side of things, Aberdeen Roncalli has pieced together a very solid season under head coach John Murdy.
Yeah, John Murdy's done a great job. The Region 1A golf and girls runs through Aberdeen Roncalli. I saw this morning they've won 3 consecutive Region 1A championships, if you will. I saw that this morning on the Roncalli Facebook page. So big shout out to Coach Murdy and the Roncalli girls golf squad. 3 consecutive, and just a dominant effort there yesterday. And like you said, we do talk a lot about Central and what they do, but you can't sleep on what the Cavaliers have done over the last couple years on the golf links.
So that's the double A. We've got the A. Well, how about the Bs? We're talking about Miller. I mean, yeah, that's been kind of their speed, if you will. And they were outstanding yesterday on the girls' side of things in particular. They finished 48 strokes ahead of the rest of the field there for second place, as they had Mowbridge Pollock in second, Selby third, Eureka fourth, Potter County in fifth place. But J.C. Pugh, 10 strokes ahead of her teammate, Kaylin Anderberg. And Anderberg's no slouch, but J.C. Pugh has had a really, really great career already. She was 3 over yesterday, a 74. She finished in first place. Congratulations to Coach Rogers' crew there. And on the boys' side, Sully Buse, they finished up top, followed by second place Miller. Stanley County and Mopo tied for third with Potter County in fifth place. Gavin Colson, your medalist there for the Chargers of Sully Buse. Wesley Whitler there in second place. Just feels like boys and girls alike, high school golf is in a really, really good spot right now. Check out our website for more details.
Yeah, big shout out to the Miller Rustlers. We had Coach Rogers on a couple weeks ago, and they just have a lot of gals and girls that really like to work on their game, and it's really coming to fruition right now. You see what Pugh did, plus 3. And, you know, I think she's done a lot of focus on the boys' side of things as well, trying to get them to compete. They've certainly done that this year. I mean, Derek Bregeman, 7 over 79. I mean, right in the mix there when you look at the leaderboard, and really nice job from the Miller Rustlers. And Tukes, I was looking at the baseball real fast here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about an upset in the Class B playoffs?
Yeah.
You see that?
I did. That was the, was it the 7 over 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit of an upset there yesterday. You had Redfield down Warner, Ipswich, Northwestern, 7-2. And the bugger about it is you got to play right after that. I mean, you're playing probably, I think first pitch was close to about 9:15 or something like that last night. That's past Grandpa Tukes' bedtime now. And Redfield did fall to Sioux Valley eventually there, as Sioux Valley, as the Cossacks, they advanced to the state tournament down south in Brookings. But, yeah, I mean, that's a bit of an upset, a 7 over 2. But, yeah, the bugger is, hey, what a great upset. That's outstanding. But then first pitch is, you know, half an hour later for the next game. That's tough.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes you try to save your best pitcher for game two. You can't look ahead, but
got to get there.
You got to get there, but sometimes, you know, it's all strategy based. But, you know, probably disappointing from the Warner Ipswich Northwestern perspective, because they were hosting this thing in Northville.
Yeah,
and you worked so hard throughout the season to be able to host, and then something like that happens. So close game. Odlin pitched great, 5 2/3, didn't allow an earned run and struck out 7. Nice job from him.
A lot of good stuff yesterday as well on the track and field side of things. Check out our website for more details. And Aberdeen Central collectively sitting in 8th place out of 14 teams in the Class AA State Tournament down south in Sioux Falls. In Flight 4 singles, you've got Gustavo Carrara going for a perhaps championship here today and you see a lot of 1-2s, some 1-1s in there, but overall a pretty successful first day for the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles, particularly there in flight for singles. There's going to be a couple consolation opportunities for the Golden Eagles. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details there. Upcoming next, we're talking some hoop as Spencer Christensen. He'll join us live in studio after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be joined in studio with Spencer Christensen. And this is a dude that knows a thing or two about a thing or two, of course, of Prep Hoops Dakotas there on X. You can follow him there on social media there as well, at Spencer_C3Scout. Happy Friday, sir. How are you?
Happy Friday. It hasn't been that long since I've been on, but there's a lot to talk about, so glad I'm on.
Well, I wasn't here last time, so I missed you.
Yeah, you missed a lot.
I did. I really did. I was watching you guys on the stream there, on the Facebook stream, which, by the way, smash that like button, share that stream if you wouldn't mind. That's Fox Sports Aberdeen's Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Yeah, the Hub City Radio debut live in studio. You held the fort down, huh?
Yeah, I was a little nervous, but kind of you guys made me feel comfortable right away, so it kind of just went pretty smooth. So
you know what I do when I get nervous? Drink more coffee. That's usually a good thing.
I thought you stopped that because it stained your teeth.
You know,
that's what he said.
Yeah, you know, there was a year I went about 10 months without coffee. I just wanted to see how long I could go. It's about 10 months.
Did your teeth get any whiter? Or?
Nah, it's about the same.
Then might as well go back to it.
Yeah. No, I'm usually pretty good with my teeth. I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back. Cavity free for 34 years. So
that's pretty rare.
Very rare. Just brush your teeth a couple times a day, a little mouthwash, a little floss. Call it good. And you want to talk more about my dental stuff? Talk to me after the show. But we're here to talk about some basketball. Excuse me. You've been a very, very busy guy for sure. What's been underneath your schedule of the last handful of weeks here?
Well, I got a weekend off finally. This will be my first weekend off only weekend off until probably mid-August. I'll see how many tournaments. 1, 2, 3. Been to 4 tournaments. Got this weekend off, then got quite a few on the lineup, so. Yeah, so I've been so locked in with AAU and stuff that my friends will talk about NBA and bring it up and try to make conversation about no idea what's going on right now. I'm like, who's playing? Okay, sounds good. I know all the players. I just have no idea what's going on right there. So, I can keep going on. So we got a Marvin Richard update. We talked about him a lot last time, who has a Northern State University offer. So Blake Elwine was the number one ranked prospect out of Huron, 6'9", guard. Yeah, pretty rare at that size to be able to do what he does. But Marvin Richard came out at a tournament, had 40-plus point games, just killed it, shot the ball well. So I moved him up to number one spot in 2026 class. So that received quite a bit of attention, social media and on the website. So he's gonna possibly get an out-of-state D1 offer, like the non-SU, SDSU, USD. So kind of waiting on that, but it's kind of pretty big deal. It could be big news. And he had a Northern visit, recently. I have a quote on it. I don't know if we need to go through all that, but he really enjoyed it. Loved the coaches, loved the atmosphere. Obviously, the Barnett Center is pretty big time for D2. So, yeah, he loved the visit. So, hopefully, Marv Dennis U keeps going, right?
That would be nice.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, you mentioned Blake Elwine and Marvin Richard III. From your perspective, just watching these kids play this summer at the AAU level, what kind of sticks off the page from your perspective? Is it just like the ball handling for Elwine at his size at 6'9"? Is it the fact that he can shoot from the outside? You know, kind of similar with Richard, how he's just an elite scorer. What are some of the things that really stand out from your perspective?
So it makes it tough to rank the two and compare. Like, they're basically one tied 1A, 1A, however you want to put it. But Richard, 6'6", 6'1" guard. Elwine, 6'9", totally different concepts or play styles. Marvin Richard, he had at the Battle of the Lakes tournament, Prep Hoops tournament, played against D1 Minnesota,
They have D1 guys, the high-end D2 guys, and I think he scored 35 and just – he took the game over as far as, like, scoring and passing, and it was – yeah, so. And they were trying to get physical with him, but he was able to – like, he was weaving through defenders against top-level defenders, so that was good to see. Then Elwine was at the same tournament, so I was able to see both of them kind of same tournament, probably three games each, both of them, so – Elwine, it's kind of his play style more than anything at 6'9". But when he gets mean, he's tough to stop. And he just needs to have that consistency. But he's skilled, scored 21 points a game. But I think he could go beyond that and just dominate double-A ball. But, yeah, later in the Prep Hoops Battle of the Lakes tournament, he really turned it up and just was more aggressive, getting to the hoop. Going through contact, and obviously he can shoot the ball, and he was hitting shots too. So,
Spencer Christensen joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Now, I've never personally been to one of these sorts of tournaments. AAU ball is really on the rise. How much structure is there in games like this? Because that's one thing that I hear about AAU basketball. It's kind of a free-for-all. Everyone has to go out and try to get theirs. Is there a lot of structure in these games? Like, you're actually running sets, you're running offenses, you're running defenses, or is it just kind of a free-for-all? Can you kind of unpack that a little bit?
So what's improved with these AAU tournaments or programs, they actually have, like, really good coaches now. Mm-hmm. So, like, Mitchell's head coach, who they won state, then they got second, whatever. Mm-hmm. He coaches one of the Hoop City South Dakota teams, so obviously he knows what's going on. So I think the coaching is way better than it used to be. In the past, you'd probably grab your dad or something, want to go coach, you know, who knows nothing about basketball.
Let's do it, yeah.
So that's a big difference, and it's really competitive. As far as, like, yeah, they want to go get theirs because you're trying to – you'll see, like, these non-live events and these live events with college coaches there, you can tell they play way harder. You know, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But they still try to, you know – they need to share the ball more personally, but some teams are really good about it. Some teams, not so much, I guess you could say. But
so what's the difference? You said live and non-live events. What's
so like? There's live NCAA live periods, uh-huh, where college coaches can go to D2 and D1.
Okay,
but some tournaments they cannot go to.
Uh huh.
But your NAIA teams, like Dakota Wesleyan, stuff like that, they can go to anything they want.
Okay.
So they can go to those tournaments, but D2s and D1s have restrictions. So,
will there ever be a situation where some of those restrictions are lifted, do you feel like? Because to your point, you got some Dakota State guys, some D-Dub guys there, the NAIA, it's kind of like the old Wild West. Everything, it's all hands are off. You want to go ahead and recruit some players, go for it. NCAA, it's kind of different. It kind of almost puts them with a hand behind their back almost a little bit.
Yeah, right? So that gives the NAIA coaches a little bit of advantage, but these other schools can offer better scholarships, yeah, obviously, so in most cases. So I don't think they'll limit it, the D1s, D2s, just because it would get way too wild, just the competitiveness in recruiting. Say you're a D1 coach and you'd have to be recruiting hard 24/7 to get your top players. So I think it's actually good for the coaches. Then it kind of gives them a little break, too. So I like the restrictions. Otherwise, it could be Wild Wild West.
So when you go to these AAU tournaments, are there, like, game, like, four different courts going on? They're playing, like, multiple games at the same time? Is there one game? Then there's, like, a 20-minute break, another game. How's that all work? And do you try to go around and see as much as you can?
So there's every tournament's different. So Battle of the Lakes, there was literally 8 high schools.
Okay.
It was a huge tournament, Prep Hoops tournament. So you could travel to high school, but I kind of stayed in one spot. But there'll be 4 courts, 5 courts, 6 courts, and 8 high schools.
Wow.
There'll be like 400, 500 plus teams. So.
Wow.
So trying to cover all that is literally impossible. So What I used to do is kind of walk around and try to see courts and see as many players, but I do best when I actually sit down and watch a game so you actually know what happened. So I'll come up with a schedule, and like at Battle Lake, so I was like, there's a lot of different scouts there too. So I'm like, I'm just gonna focus on South Dakota, and they let me do that. So I just watched the South Dakota teams I want to watch, like Marvin Richards, Blake Elmine. So yeah, it was kind of funny because I was like, they were playing these Minnesota teams and Odyssey teams. And like, I'm rooting way too hard for these South Dakota AU teams. Like, I was getting mad. Like,
sure.
Like, yeah, I was getting into it. So I have some fandom when it comes to that, for sure. So
No doubt. Well, speaking of Marvin Richard III, you mentioned that, of course, that he came on the visit to Northern State, has the scholarship offer there, still a whole year of high school ball yet to go. But, you know, I see all the things about him, and I just think to myself, is that going to translate to the next level, whether that's D1 or D2 or NAIA? He's going to have his pick of the litter at the end of the day when he's done with his high school career. He can pretty much choose wherever he's going to want to go. My question is, do you think his style of play will translate to the next level? Because I think it personally probably will.
Yeah, since he's so such a good ball handler and passer and sees the court so well, I think that gives him a leg up as far as having D1 potential, but if I'm him, obviously not trying to plug Northern State all the time, but like if he goes to D2, I think he can just go in there and because he doesn't seem like a guy that wants to sit as a freshman. Like, he just wants to play, in my opinion. I would go D2 and just play right away and just have a great career, you know. That's what I would do for him, but obviously people are attracted by the D1 name and it is what it is. Everyone's different, but I like him at a D2 fit and just have a super good career.
Well, speaking of which, Alec Millender is a guy that played at Wayne State, and he actually just signed to be with UConn. Now, is he going to play? Probably not, but he's on a D1 team. Hey, how cool is that? I'm a UConn guy. It's Well, that is cool, don't get me wrong, but it's like if you're playing 0.0 minutes per game, what's the point?
It's not very fun at that point, yeah.
I mean, everyone's got their own reasons to do things, though, certainly.
For sure.
Looking a little bit more, it looks like Connor Mebius, a point guard there, got an offer from NSU. He was there at the Battle of the Lakes tournament. We were actually watching some clips, not of that, but just of the tournament. I think it was when Marvin Richard, we said, hey, there's Coach Wilbur in the background in one of those videos. Yeah, we saw him there.
Yeah, so Wilbur has been – so some of these coaches will get there. So the tournament starts 8 a.m. Some get there at 10, leave at 4 p.m. I saw Wilbur there, I think it was 8 a.m. till when I was there, 9 p.m., a 12-hour day. So he's known to be a grinder from what I've heard, and I talked to him. Seems like that's the case. He knows what he's talking about for sure, and he knows the players that are playing. So, yeah, I think he'll be a good fit with Northern for sure. As far as Mebius, at the Battle of the Lakes tournament, so the storyline is 5'9 point guard, can't play D2. But so he's playing these other players that are D1, D2 at these tournaments. And they're bigger than him, obviously. And they're literally like throwing their shoulders at him, pushing him around. Then Mebius is pushing him back. It was pretty physical, but then his skill just kind of took over in his shooting. He just crossed him over, got in the middle, shooting threes. It was impressive. So after that, I'm like, how do I rank this guy? You know, it's like, I think he can play D2 and have a really good career. So I made the move, and I moved up to the number 2 ranked 2027 prospect. Then he gets an offer from D2, from Northern, so that kind of made me feel a little better, I guess. So, but yeah, I think some D2 programs should hop on and probably try to recruit him, because from what I've heard, he's lives, eats, and breathes basketball, and he's going to come in and work, and he'll work his tail off. So, good character kid too. So,
all right, we'll take a quick break in the action right here and right now. More with Spencer Christensen coming up next as we're hitting on some AAU tournaments and much more after this. Sports Hub continues on a finally Friday here on 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Once again, Brown County Speedway races for tonight have been canceled. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, Spencer Christensen joining us live in studio for our next segment here. And we're talking off the air about a young buck from Dubrook that's kind of making some hay. Tell us about Mr. Schoenfeld.
Yeah, so Chance Schoenfeld from Dubrook area. He plays on a new program called Impact out of Sioux Falls, started by Chris Morales. Yeah, so they've been on a lot of prep hoops tournaments, like everyone I've been to. So, yeah, as far as him, he's actually on – so they have the first team and a second team kind of for the senior class. So the Schoenfeld's actually on the second team, but he's literally – he's broken out in a big way. 6'7", he's like a 4, can shoot. He sees the floor so well, and so he was team was getting pressed this past weekend. He was kind of in the middle, would come to the middle. They give him the ball, and he would just make great decisions with the ball, and just like they would get layups and open shots just from him making great decisions with the ball. And kind of what sets him apart is he can shoot the three so well. Every time he shoots, if he misses, it's like, oh, that should have been in type thing. It's like, it's right there every time, smooth stroke. He defends the paint pretty well. He's a thin guy, so I think some D2 programs would be worried about that a little bit, but he would need to hit the weight room pretty hard. I don't think he'd be a guy that would play right away, but he would need some strength and conditioning work for sure. But yeah, I moved him. So he played for Dubrook. I watched some film on him, hadn't seen him live. He just seems like I just thought, kind of back of my mind, okay, he's just a 6'7" kid, shoot the three, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so then I saw him the summer up live, like he can get up and jump, and kind of other things I said too about his game. So I moved him up to number 8, ranked 26 prospect. So
how many rankings do you have, by the way? You go top 10, top 20, top 50. What's your ceiling at?
So I'm kind of changing up the strategy. So this past year I had 300 seniors ranked.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So basically just trying to get as many kids on there, but that kind of got to be too much. Like, so you can't watch that many kids throughout the year. And say you're at the back end of the rankings, and if I don't watch you, like, how can I move you up or move you back? Or so I'm trying to limit it to 150, I think, or 125, just so I can lock in kind of on those. But if I see a guy that comes out of nowhere or whatever, I can add him to the rankings too. So yeah, I'm trying to so if it kind of waters it down a little bit, if you have 300 kids, sure. Try to make it a little more kind of prestigious. Say you make the top 100, okay, I made the top 100, that's pretty cool, but you don't want to be the, you know, it doesn't really mean much, I guess, 300th guy technically. But so yeah,
is there much of a disparity between, let's say, the 7th ranked guy and the 11th ranked guy? Is there a big difference there from your perspective, or not really?
It's all depending on the class. Some classes will have 20 guys that can play college, and kind of so it kind of goes by tier. You have your
two or three
guys at the top that can be D1. Then you might have a tier 2. Then your 4 through 10, kind of the same type of players, can be ranked however depending on size and guard, center, whatever. Then you'll have kind of your 11 through 30 kind of NEI guys, whatever. But some classes can have a bunch of college guys, a bunch of size. Some classes will be kind of weak. And there's always college guys every year, but some classes are stronger than the others.
Spencer Christensen live here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I'll give the listener a little inside baseball. Spencer sent us a bit of an update on what your summer looks like, updates on some of these AAU teams. I see Sioux Falls, I see Watertown. Nothing in terms of Aberdeen for the AAU circuit. Is that something that is a thing that you maybe just didn't list, or is that something that could be a thing in the not-too-distant future, or is AAU ball here in Aberdeen not that big of a thing? You have to latch onto a Sioux Falls team or a Watertown team.
So, kind of when I say, like, Watertown, Sioux Falls, that's kind of where the program is located, whatever, technically.
Mm-hmm.
It's where they do their practices and stuff. But they'll have, like, kids from all over. So there can be a kid, West River kid, on a Sioux Falls team. Just a lot of travel type thing. They probably can't make all the practices and stuff. But, yeah, so they'll have – Sioux Falls team will have kids from a bunch of schools, a bunch of type of schools. But some of the Sioux Falls teams will kind of set on Sioux Falls kids because there's so many kids to choose from in the AA kids. So, and as far as Aberdeen, so there's Heiser Skills Academy out of Watertown, run by Tanner Heiser and Blake Heiser. So I got wind of them trying to start some teams in Aberdeen. I don't know, I didn't get all the information, but I think they're trying to get some top Aberdeen guys and put them on their team and kind of just create a pretty solid team because there's no Aberdeen. Well, there's a you have your Groton with James Valley Thunder. They kind of get some Aberdeen kids. So I think, well, Heisers and James Valley Thunder kind of work together as far as like, okay, can we have this guy? We need a guy for a tournament. So they might do some type of merging type thing. I'm not 100% sure, but they work well together. So maybe they get some going in Aberdeen together. But yeah, Heisers for sure is trying to, well, they come to Aberdeen and do some skills. They're going to start doing some skills camps, and that's kind of what they started with. And they just started AU teams, but they want to get some teams going, and they kind of want to do some prep hoops events too, and some bigger tournaments. So,
would you say like Sioux Falls is like the headquarters of AAU basketball in South Dakota?
Yeah, it's basically Sioux Falls is the mecca of South Dakota basketball. It's especially AAU and your high school teams are obviously better. You got your AA teams that there's just a lot of talent. You go to Sioux Falls and you're backup or your JV guy or backup point guard, whatever, could be a good player, really good player in A school, but might not even see the floor on double A team. So it's just a different type of game out there. So
Spencer Christensen joining us live in studio. Check him out there at Spencer_C3Scout. Of course, part of Prep Hoops Dakota there on X. A lot of coaching changes, particularly on the college side of things here this offseason. New coaches at Dakota State, Dakota Wesley, and Northern State, of course. How do you see these kind of coaching changes impacting some of the, A, recruiting, and B, how do you see how some of these teams perhaps do in the not-too-distant future?
So, obviously, I think, especially with AAU and NAIA, recruiting is number one. It doesn't matter how well you can coach X and L. You need your players for sure. As far as like South Dakota specifically, it's kind of an interesting development on the NAIA level. So Dakota Wesley prior assistant Sam Nicholson, so he took a Upper Iowa D2 assistant job. Then Kevin Williamson was the Dakota Wesley head coach, and he took the Dakota State job. So Nicholson's was kind of in limbo there for a little bit, like a week or so, and as being a D2 assistant, and I think he really wanted that Dakota Wesley job. So he ended up getting that one. He's excited about that, and I think he's going to really push it hard. I connected with him really well at the Prep Hoop Stomping Ground in Sioux Falls. Young coach, 28 years old. I think he works hard, and like I said to Wilbur, He'll be there. He'll be there the whole tournament, morning till night, and it's what you got to do. These players want to see you at the games. You're recruiting them, okay? You know, like, okay, this coach isn't here, but that coach is there. Like, it's a no brainer.
They can tell.
You want to be the coach that comes to your games. So, yeah.
That's funny. Something as simple as that can make the difference, right, yeah. Spencer? Right? If the coach is there, you know, this coach. Hey, my mind was set here. But this coach isn't here for whatever reason. But this coach is here. It could maybe completely change somebody's thought process, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think that's kind of why there's D1 restrictions. So if there's not D1 restrictions and you have your top guy in the nation, you're going to have 100 coaches there every game. You know, not well, overblown there. But, like, these college coaches, D1 coaches, they're not going to have outside life, no family life. They're just going to recruit these top kids nonstop. So it would be wild. So, I'm glad to have the restrictions, but as far as you're saying, yeah, if I'm a player, there's a D1 school, D1 coach, D2 coach, D1 coach isn't coming to my games, D2 coach is at as many games as he can be. I'm going with a coach that's going to come watch me and more interested. So yeah. go where you're wanted, not where, whatever. So
yeah, go where you can make an impact. I mean, if you can play immediately, go there. I mean, I'm not telling. I guess I kind of am. I am telling, you know, some kiddos, you know, where to go and what have you. But I've always been of the opinion that if you have an opportunity to go D1 and sit on the bench for 3 years, or you can go NAIA or D2 and make an immediate impact, it's easy. You know, athletes want to play. Mm-hmm. So if you have an opportunity to play, go there and play.
Yeah, you see these.
Don't sit on the bench.
They go D1, then they get in the transfer portal the year later, then they go back to D2.
What's the point?
Or go to lesser D1. It's like, okay, you just wasted a year and whatever. time and everything. Mean, so
here we are just beating our heads against the wall. How many times have we seen that over the last handful of years? Yeah. Spencer Christensen live here in studio, maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. Do you have any kind of, I guess, parting words here? I mean, you've got a very, very busy summer on tap here and where you're going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, super busy, obviously. There's some AAU programs we missed, but we'll look at that next time. There's some area player updates I wanted to talk about, a few Groton kids that play with James Valley Thunder 15-under program, Carson Zach, Easton Weber. Both are guards that play, like I said, they're both, well, Zach is right now I have number 3 in his class. He's just insanely athletic for a young kid. He can go off the drive, dunk it. He was getting alley-oops. So at the tournament, I got some video of him. I might just make a highlight video of him, just for something to do. And I'm trying to kind of learn how to do that stuff. I kind of know how, but trying to perfect it a little bit. So I'm going to make a highlight video of him and Weber. They were just killing it. Weber is a 6-foot point guard. Just solid, and he'll be top 10 in the state, 9 or 10 or so. Actually update the rankings, 2028 rankings on Monday, so we'll see what happens there. Then Keegan, another grown kid, Keegan Tracy, he's with Heiser Skills Academy, point guard for Groton. He just got an offer from Briarcliff, so that was cool. How many more minutes do we have here? A few? A couple? None?
maybe one or two, yeah.
All right, gotcha. So a couple of AU program updates. South Dakota Elite, Justin Bilal, number 3 ranked 2026. Transferring to Sioux Falls Roosevelt from Lincoln. DW offer, Northern State's looking at him. He just scored 40 points, hit 7 threes in front of them, so that doesn't hurt. Then Jaden Haley, so he's actually backup. He was a backup point guard at Sioux Falls Lincoln. He's with South Dakota Elite. He's having a breakout summer. So he's the backup point guard of Sioux Falls Lincoln, but I have him number 13th ranked 2026. That just shows you how deep Lincoln is and double A in general. Heiser Skills Academy, Bowden Stevenson, Chris Beavers out of Clarkville Lake. Bowden's from Hamlin, looking really good. Chris Beavers from Clarkville Lake. So, yeah, now that we're out of time. That's it.
Yeah, very, very busy man. Again, give him a follow there on X, Spencer_C3Scout, and, of course, Prep Hoops Dakota there on Twitter or X if you prefer. Thanks for popping in studio and joining us.
Yeah, thank you. See you in about 3 weeks.
All right, you got it. Sounds good to us. Spencer Christensen here live in studio. Coming on back and wrapping up this Friday installment of The Hub after this. Final segment for your Friday on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Spencer Christensen taking some time out of his busy day and joining us. You want to talk about busy. That guy is quite busy indeed. Big shout-out goes to a couple of Northern State, now All-Americans, Sam Tremelling, an Aberdeen native, Aberdeen Rock Holly grad, Jaden Monroe. Congratulations to those two young bucks. Check out HubCityRadio.com for more details from the NCAA D2 National Championships from yesterday. Class AA State Tournament continues today down south in Sioux Falls. Again, the races tonight are canceled. Aberdeen Central Golf, they are back in action today down south in Brandon Valley. And also, you've got the track and field Dial-A-Move Last Chance Meet. That's, of course, going on today as well. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. Have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you folks next week, Tuesday.